Welcome to the Mike Hewitt Show, 11 years and growing. It's about family, business, work, and politics like you've never heard it before. Yep, it's true. There's more than just a touch of wry humor mixed in. And now your host, Mike Hewitt.
Folks, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski. Folks, I got to tell you, often, you know, the news is just filled with terrible stuff, but I got to start out with putting a comfortable smile on your face. So, world on the brink as Taiwan admits U.S. troops are now stationed on Chinese border. Isn't it nice to know that we have President Biden putting troops on the Chinese border? Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Make your coffee taste a little bit extra today than normal? A little bit.
That's
better.
A huge assumption, Mike.
I am making a leap of faith. I got to tell you something. Folks, this is scary. And I'm not one of those shock, jock, grab the alarms, pull whatever it takes, sensation, selling, sizzle. We'll talk about those people in a little while. But when I look at the headlines from around the world, forget U.S. media. When I look at the headlines from around the world and I compare them, and I literally did this, to headlines from around the world 4 years ago, the week before COVID, let me add, it was a different universe. I mean, entirely a different universe. Now, I don't care if you're pro-Trump, pro-Biden, pro-neither one of them. I don't care about all that. You cannot deny the fact that the world is in a much greater, unstable, perilous situation now than it was 4 years ago. And so I'm an old guy. Miles, you're an old guy. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, Miles Bauer?
No, but the media has already come out with articles about people like me don't know what I'm talking about. The economy is great. The stock market's flying through the roof, you know, so apparently I'm just a paranoid.
Maybe you are, but and you guys probably rolled your eyeballs looking at show notes. So folks, let me get by to back down to the end of our show notes because it fits in perfectly. I've called it English muffins and politics. Don't laugh at me, but it's a true thing. I had my first English muffin in 1970. I like English muffins. I really do. I don't know why. Sometimes butter, sometimes sour cream. You get the idea. I like English muffins. And then this week I went and bought more English muffins. And the size of them have been cut almost in half. And by the way, the fun part is, and I won't tell you the brand, but it's the brand that's got the, you can peel the see-through plastic back, grab yourself an English muffin, and then the seal re-sticks. The muffins are so small, but they didn't change the box size. It must cost them money to change the box size. So when you pick up the English muffins, they flop around in the container like that was, folks, people are voting for this stuff. So when they tell you and me, Miles, that we're old guys and we just don't understand, let me tell you what I do understand. The federal government does not include food, energy, or housing in their inflation numbers. And the things that impact our life the most, they're having the worst impact on. You need hospital care? You better take your KY jelly. You need to rent an apartment? You better bring two tubes. Folks, it's insanity. It's craziness. And they think, what problems? There's no problems. What's those two old guys babbling about? There's no problems. Everything's wonderful. It's only, Ludwig, I'm going to use the word, when I look at food and energy and housing, it is hyperinflation. It is Weimar Republic hyperinflation. You, Mr. Professor, tell me I'm wrong, sir.
No, I mean, if we look at the micro side of things, there's definitely hyperinflation happening in areas.
Only,
it's the overall
only
economy
the areas
that we can't
wait,
say it.
Ludwig, only the areas that we use the most, only the areas that we need to feed our children and our grandkids, only the things that say where you can live, what you can drive, $47,000 for a piece of junk car? These people are off the hook, bat crazy to say, what economy? There's no problems in the economy.
And Biden just announced he's going to add $4 billion more student loan forgiveness, which is clearly going to add some more gasoline to the inflation.
He doesn't have $4 billion. Folks, if you picture this, reduce it to a home. And Lud, I'm sorry, I know we cut you off. You're going to have your day in the sun in just a second. But if you're sitting there, folks, and you got your bills spread out on the kitchen table and you don't have enough money to pay your own bills, do you say, hey, let's go next door and give the Smiths a couple thousand? Does that make sense to you? Who thinks that way? Ludwig, I apologize. Please take us to school.
No, I think the craziest part about the reasoning behind why they don't include food and energy costs and healthcare costs, which are the three main segments, is because they say they're too they're too volatile. What does that mean, they're too volatile? Why would those not be added? Those are the essentials to life. It doesn't matter. It matters. Let's state that. It matters. But to me personally, the auto industry, what that's doing inflation-wise, doesn't matter to me. The lumber industry doesn't matter. What happens in the grocery store, at the doctor's office, in my house payment or rent payment, that matters directly today.
Yep, I get it. But where I disagree with you is all the people, when Trump was president, that thought, let's build a deck, honey. And they spent the winter dreaming about building a deck. And then the lumbering prices went through the roof. So forget their deck. Start thinking about all the construction people that they don't count in their unemployment numbers that can't get work. Oh, Mike, those companies are begging for labor. Look what Tyson did. They just got rid of a bunch of people and then hired a whole boatload of illegal foreign insurgency.
Oh, folks, don't.
We got a problem in America right now.
The unemployment, don't even get me started on that number. That number is so false. I mean, if you're working, you own a construction company making $250,000 a year and your company went under, and now you're working at Lowe's making $12 an hour or $15 an hour, 20 hours a week, you're considered fully employed. Right. Even though you're not, not only are you not full employment at 40 hours, you're not fully employed because you're not actually putting your entire skill set to work. So the unemployment rate's another joke. It's like every one of these numbers are political. And here's what I tell my students in economics. You ever heard the phrase, numbers don't lie? They do in econ. Because all you do is pick the ones you want to use and prove your point.
Right. Yep. Folks, until you open your pack of English muffins or get your utility bill or take a trip around and buy just the bare necessities and you get to the cash register and you're going, uh-oh.
So I will say that's the only thing I've agreed with Biden on in 4 years. Shrinkflation's real.
It is real, but it's my food products. It's the things that I buy.
That's what he was saying. Yeah, and I agree with that. It has been. Pepsi 20 ounces used to be 20 ounces. You got 8 of them for $5. Now you get 6, and they're 16.9 ounces for the same amount. And that's happened within the last 3 years.
You mean they didn't fool you?
I can count 6 to 8 is not the same. And then the 16.8 to 20 ounces is not the same.
So, Miles, you remember back in the old days, we're watching Jimmy Carter. You and I were watching Jimmy Carter together. And he's making some point about dial down the thermostat. And his big PowerPoint, whatever his point was, when he gets to it, he swings his fist from right to left. But he does it off cue. It doesn't line up with what he's actually saying. Folks, this stuff is all nonsense, and it is plaguing your life with unnecessary, it's just insanity. The part I keep saying, I know every show, and I apologize in advance, I truly can't believe there are millions of people that vote for this stuff. That just blows my mind. Yeah, I want more of less. Wi-Fi. Folks, stay with us. We will be right back. All right, guys, let's go in a different direction for a minute. And I need to have both of you help me get my head around the definition of something. So I'm reading an article, folks, from AmericanWireNews.com, and it's actually about Jesse Waters from Fox News. Yes, I also found the article there, but since Fox News wants me to give them my email address every time that I want to read an article, I stopped sourcing them. So they can take their email address collection and, well, I can't say that. FCC won't let me share my true feelings about that. Nevertheless, Jesse Waters warns of dark and dangerous chapter in U.S., says deep state preparing for war. And I read that, and I read that, and I thought, I need you guys, Ludwig and Miles, to reel me in, because first I asked the obvious, is he onto something, or is he playing shock jock? And I'm not much for shock jock people in politics. I'm sorry. I'm just not. That stuff does not light my fire, doesn't move me. But it caused me to say, let's spend a minute to define what deep state actually is, because I hear this constantly all the time. You know, and of course, I'm reading an article, I think it was the New York Times, is what set Jesse Waters off, where they were writing a congratulations to the deep state, which are all the folks that watch Star Trek at midnight, and they went on and on and on with a bunch of nonsensical, unrelated things to demonstrate that these are just good people that work for the government. And listen, in fairness, folks, my wife worked for the federal government. Before that, she worked for a county government. I tell you that because when we think of deep state, I don't think my wife working with veterans makes her a part of deep state. I just don't. But yet I recognize that there truly is something off the hook within our federal government. I would submit to you it's also on a state level. And the result of the way funding works, it spills down to your local governments. That's my opinion. But I thought, I've got two people that are, and I say this respectfully, guys, very, very well educated and experienced in life. Miles, I'm going to go to you because you're the old guy with a Chicago hat on. Right. What it could, people from Chicago, they got to know what deep state means.
No, what's deep state, Miles? And I wouldn't necessarily point it at Waters. I mean, I remember Rush Limbaugh, before he died, said the same exact thing back in 16.
Right.
That the deep state is going to gear up and it's going to defend itself. And when I say deep state, that is regardless of D's and R's. The deep state is not political. They're just looking out for themselves.
Sure. I agree with that.
And I would put Fauci as an example.
Yep, he is. But listen, I go a step further on that. And so you guys tell me if I'm overreaching here, because I don't want to be the shock jock. But as I've said many times on this show, when I look at the concept of a federal bureau of investigation, a federal police, I look at Mexico. I look to other countries for examples of how federal police forces work. Every one of them, including ours, from its inception on, has been a political animal. I don't necessarily believe that the average FBI specialist is part of the deep state. I get that. But the leadership and the closer you get to DC, the folks that are in these regional headquarters, Miles, it goes to your point that are protecting their jobs at all costs. Sometimes that means protecting their ideologies. If you've got one party wanting to shrink government, the other party wanting to grow government, and the food on your table is plentiful because of more and not less, man, I don't think, folks, and by the way, I think there's a human element in this. I'm not defending them, but I can intellectually say the average person sitting in those power broker chairs that we've created, I'll stop myself there, but ask the obvious. Which of our founding fathers would have said, yes, we want a federal police? I can't find any, not one, not even Hamilton. And he loved big government, but not even he would have said, yeah, we need a federal police. Ludwig, what say you?
No, I definitely believe the deep state. And the truth is, I believe they've been exposed. President Trump has done that. And why do we see so many cases going against him? Especially with a record amount of the $454 million, which is well beyond, well, 4.5 times the largest bond you can get from any bond bailsman.
Right.
And completely goes against the Eighth Amendment of unreasonable bail and bonds. And you're telling me there's no deep state?
Right. But that's, like, part, come of on. That's part of the judiciary. And so now
and
we're looking
like, at- hold on, Mike. But who you just said Taiwan earlier has U.S. soldiers in their country. And then I know you're sarcastically saying, good job, Biden. There's no way Joe Biden even knows they're there.
Joe Biden doesn't know whether he's a foot or horseback. Let's
so
be real here.
State's got to be running this.
I have no idea who the puppet master is. But for all of the Dems running around applauding the fact that he made it for an hour and 15 minutes on stage, stop it. Have you watched him give any press conferences in the last 4 or 5 years? Go, and I've said this many times, go back 10 years and watch the same guy, if it's the same guy. I agree with your point. I don't know whether he knows there's people there, the U.S. military is there or not, but okay. They are there.
He didn't even know his Department of Defense, the Secretary of Defense, was in the hospital having a procedure.
Right.
So the only explanation here is deep state is running the nation, because who else is?
Well, but you got to quantitate it for us, Lud. That was really the point, because I know deep state means so much to so many people. And by the way, I see it all over social media. It's cold and it shouldn't be cold and it must be the deep state. I'm going, no, stop it. When I look at CIA, by the way, I watch a lot of Y-Files now that I'm stuck with streaming TV against my will. So I start watching this guy and he's got a fish sitting beside him, does a lot of interesting stories. I have no idea what his politics is. I think he's a classical liberal, but I truly don't know. One of the things I found fascinating is the exposés he's done on the CIA, who to me are part of the deep state. And by the way, I would throw the FISA court, speaking of foreign entities, I would throw the FISA court in on deep state. When they don't tell me who sits on the bench and what the decisions are, or even what the questions are, that's part of the deep state. That's part of it.
Yeah, that's the unconstitutional court that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. It's not constitutional. That if the folks can't go in there, then it's not a court. That's why when you go into any courtroom in America, you can sit down. Now, the judge may, for whatever reason, say everybody's got to leave for the next 20 minutes. I get that. But the reason that we build courts with chairs in them are for citizens to keep their eye on the process. And what makes the judiciary so ugly is that everyone in America has been raised to believe we've got the best system in the world. We don't need to look at it. Let's busy ourselves calling each other names. You establishment hack, you crazy, wild, angry mobber. You're going, really? Our world is burning and we're calling each other 8th grade, 10th grade names? Boneheads. All of them. Every of them.
Romney was wrong. I guess if you say it enough times, it does become true.
He was wrong a lot. Romney was wrong a lot. I'm sorry. What did he say that time that was wrong, Lud?
He said Obama once during the debates, just because you keep telling a lie over and over doesn't make it true. And he was wrong, because we continually call people names and give them these adjectives that they aren't until the point where it's now true.
Yep. I listen, it's hard to argue. So
in the last, real quick, Trump, I do believe when he says they're coming after me, they can come after you.
Yep.
And I do believe that. And I'm watching him getting it. If he's a former president getting it, what stops it from me, you, Miles, anybody else?
Yeah. But listen, and I won't get on the tax thing, but it's just like me in the local house when they jerk my property tax locally up over 70% and laugh at me when I say, hey, they laugh. Folks, stay with us. We will be right back. Listen, folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. We are broadcasting from our flagship station, 1450 AM and 99.7 FM, WHTC Holland on the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan. And regardless of what radio station you're listening to us from, you are listening to the absolute best radio station in your community. We thank our affiliates, and we thank you for doing that. So, Miles Bauer, you got to help me. Folks, you got to know, I told him I wouldn't do this, and I got weak, and I said, I'm going to anyhow. So I got a friend. He is a friend. He's significantly younger than I am, but I've known him in the political arena 10 years or so. I'd have to do the math, but I know I was a district chair in my first term since I met him, and I've served 3 2-year terms and another term as a vice chair, and I've known him 10 plus years. He's a nice young man. In fact, recently, within the last year or so, got married, nice family now. He writes me, he emails me, I've been listening to your show the last few weeks. I think the biggest issue I have with Trump is his challenge to democracy after the 2020 election and on January 6th. To me, that is the most dangerous threat to America. Once we lose that, we lose our country. Though I like his policies, there's no way I can support him because of this problem. And listen, here's the reason I brought that up. In fact, I think Ludwig just fell out of his chair. He just disappeared on there. I think he was ducking for cover, because I'm directing this at our resident Republican. And listen, everybody, you got to know, Miles, how long have I known you?
Oh, geez, almost 50 years now.
Yeah, pushing 5 decades. That's a long time. I tell you that because I'm looking to him with the love you would have for a brother, knowing that he's a Trumpublican, saying, help my friend and all of the folks that he represents. Polling says to me represents about 15% of those that have consistently voted Republican. This guy's been a long time volunteer. And by the way, let me just add to his background, because you're a mathematician, Miles. Folks, literally, he's a mathematician. This guy, you can set him down in the state of Michigan. I've never seen anything like this before. If you say, tell me about the new House district after redistricting up somewhere in the UP, 200 miles away, 300 miles away. Oh, yeah. And then he'll give you the math right off the top of his head. So what's going to happen in the next race? And he'll tell you, and he'll be really close to accurate. So when me as the policy chair for state Republican Party in the term gone by, if I got questions about areas I don't know about, I reach this guy, because I can listen to all the pundits and talking heads and the big brains at state party and all that. Booey on them. I want this guy involved because he gets the math. But when he looks at this, I want you to tell me, let's just break it down. Did Trump challenge democracy after losing in 2020? I ask you, Miles Bauer.
No, although I will freely concede that I am biased.
Well, the media disagrees with you, but the media thinks that half an English muffin for twice the price is a good deal. And I tell you that because I don't believe anything that they say.
Right.
I will tell you, well, let me move on.
Let's not forget the Death Star presser from a couple of years ago when Biden announced that I'm an existential threat to the country.
Right. Which is just off the hook crazy. Speaking of deep state, him doing that engaged the lawful use of what I consider to be unconstitutional powers against people that subscribe to right side politics. And I tell you, right side politics, folks, because if you think you're a squishy moderate and it's not going to get you, you are lying to the person in the mirror. I'm just flatly telling you. But let's dive in one more last time on this, Miles, and then I promise I'll move on. Was he complicit in whatever actually took place on January 6th, in your opinion?
No. No, the same way as, what was that staffer that said, Trump lunged for the wheel across the Secret Service agent. I mean, there's been so much garbage generated. And let's not forget the quote-unquote Republican congressman from the state of Illinois, Kedzinger, who was on the January 6th committee. And let's not forget how wonderful Liz Cheney is.
I could never get past Schiff, her brains.
Yeah.
Just, it's crazy to me. Listen, I go through these things not to disrespect Trump, you, or my friend that wrote this email to the show, but to say, I think these questions need to be better answered by our side of the divide. My opinion of the two things that he addressed is just my opinion, folks. When I look at January 6th, 3 weeks before the before that date, we talked about it on this show. I read a headline where he says, you know, come to DC and be wild. And I said, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's not a good thing to call for. We talked about it that on that episode 3 weeks before. Now, put that aside, because that's the truth. It's documented. You can go back on podcasts and find it. We had that conversation. Then the actual event happened. And I followed what Trump actually said at the microphone that day. There was absolutely nothing in his tone or his verbiage that called for an insurrection. Folks, I don't care if you're a Dem, I don't care what you're a patriot, I don't care what you're calling yourself today. If you watch what the man said, there were simply, factually, no calls for an insurrection. Be patriotic, be peaceful. That was the general concept of them. I've watched it multiple times. You can find it on YouTube super easy. So if you hate me and you say, Mike's all wet, I'm not a Trump publican, but I love intellectual honesty. Speaking of intellectual honesty, I got to offer a side note. Last week, Ludwig, you and I got into a minor debate about RFK Jr. having a running mate. Do you recall that, Ludwig?
Yep.
And I was wrong, and you were correct. I just wanted to be intellectually honest. Don't you sit there with a big fat head nodding, yeah. I was wrong. So it is historically accurate what you said, that this would be when a person as an independent candidate would be looking to announce a running mate, correct?
Yeah.
So I just went back and looked at history. So I just wanted to correct myself because I think that's important. But Trump did say what I said. He did not call for an insurrection. The thing that screws Pence up with him about that day is the 2 or 3 hours it took for the White House to respond.
So let me jump in here.
Please.
Number one, I don't think he's responsible for insurrection. I think there's a lot of hyped up people who did buy into believing that something was going to happen January 6th. I do think that's the case. But I don't think he's responsible for insurrection. Now, you guys have talked a lot about believing the media and what is happening in Ukraine and Russia. Yet with this, we don't really question the media. So did it really take Trump a long time? Because according to Twitter, he was on Twitter way earlier than what the media's reported, but they were deleted, they were blocked. So I don't think the media's told us the whole story. I don't think we'll ever know what actually took place January 6th in that White House.
Listen, Lud, I agree with that. We do know some things, like he asked in advance for National Guard to be there. We know that happened.
And who rejected it?
If you're going to cause an insurrection, you don't usually ask the National Guard to come thwart your effort.
But the Nancy media, Pelosi rejected it.
Part of the problem and the reason I wanted to bring this topic up, frankly, was not to revisit it, but in general, to point out exactly what you said, Lud, and really you too, Miles, that it was entirely media-generated nonsense. And so I invite my friend, go back and look, do some research, but we'll leave CNN behind. Folks, we'll be right back. All right, guys, literally right towards break, you and Miles actually both brought up the debate again over media, how the media portrayed January 6th, how they portrayed the alleged insurrection, how they portrayed Trump's reaction to his loss. I got to tell you, I'm partly torn. Part of it is media, but also part of it is the social media echo chamber that adds to that fire, because you got a handful of people sitting in the basement dreaming up crap they can say to get likes and follows, et cetera. And they add to the fire without knowledge. And that really makes this a muddy, hot mess. But listen, some of the things that we do know about, and one of you, Lud, I think it was you that touched on this early in today's show, and I want to take us back to it. Key questions as Trump hurdles toward deadline to pay $454 million fraud penalty. Lud, that was you. I believe, and I saw Miles nodding at the time, I believe that this is in defiance of the Eighth Amendment.
Yes.
I think this is categorically unconstitutional. And the reason, and by the way, everywhere I looked in advance of the show, everywhere I looked, the media, CNN, Reuters, AP News, all over X-Files, Twitter, whatever they call that hot mess, the progressive, which is a politically correct way of saying the Trotskyites, were really excited to think that Trump was out of money and broke and near destitution. They're going to take Mar-a-Lago, et cetera, et cetera. The idea that those things are fostered by the court system, which I believe this is part of the deep state, sorry. But Ludwig, you mentioned $100 million. What were you talking about earlier in today's show?
So no bond company in the United States is able to issue a bond for more than $100 million.
That can't be true. Wait, that can't be true. And the reason I know it's not true is that the liberals are pounding the pavement, screaming off the rooftops that Trump is so broke he can't get a bond.
Not because he's broke.
That's what they're saying. It doesn't matter what's truth. It doesn't matter whether it was an insurrection or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they say. Isn't that what Goebbels said? How many times you say it is when it turns true. They say it. Listen, the left, the crazy left Trotskyite leadership, and they're know-nothing voters. I'm sorry, that's how I see it. They say, my goodness, he don't have no money left, which is their goal, by the way. Go ahead.
So what is a fatal error that the state of New York's judicial system did here was they made this so outrageous. And so people that don't know or unclear of the Eighth Amendment, because it's not something we hear a lot about, it's about excessive bail, excessive fines being imposed, and cruel and unusual punishments inflicted on the citizen of America. Because you remember back before the British ruled, they would tax you, and if you couldn't pay it, they put you in jail until you could pay it, which you couldn't do. So that's where this amendment comes from. That's why it's so important in the top 10. What their fatal mistake was,
I want to pause to make sure listeners caught that part. It's so important is why it's included in the top 10. Top 10 of what, Ludwig?
It's the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution.
In the Bill of Rights. So it's not some item they added 200 years later. It's in the Bill of Rights. And those that Bill of Rights, without the Bill of Rights, the Constitution wouldn't have been ratified in the first place. It was that important. I'm sorry, go ahead, Lud.
No, oh, that's good. So what the fatal mistake that the state of New York did here was, this was a state crime. By imposing this fine, they actually broke his constitutional rights, which now makes it he can appeal this in federal courts. And in that district, although most federal courts are liberal-based or biased, that court is actually considered one of the most fair and even-keeled court districts. And he is likely to have this appealed within that district for this bond, this fine. And it will be repealed at the federal level only because this fine is so high, it's actually broken one of your Bill of Rights amendments that it now can go to federal.
I think you're right, but they don't care. And the reason that they don't care is that they knew that the political fallout from the hurdle that they've imposed on him was greater than whatever cost of being embarrassed. Because the New York Times, when this is finally flipped, will put that, they'll print it wrong. It'll be on page 83 at the back of the fish wrap. And you're going to see, we reported the news.
So I am going with the opposite assumption that this is not hurting him. This is helping him. Because that middle ground that's going, oh my God, they are election interference here. They're trying to break this guy in the middle of an election. The common sense Americans looking at it going, $454 million, that's how much cash he could have, and they could take everything? No way. That's wrong what they're doing to him. Not the fringe left who's anti-Trump, not the fringe right who's all Trump. It's that middle ground who's going, this is the deep state at work. We can't allow this. We have to stop this.
How about the average person? And by the way, we talked about them, and I don't consider my friend that emailed the show average, by the way. I think he's truly a great person. Set that aside. The average person that believes that he really caused an insurrection, that literally believes that what he was doing post the election loss of 2020 was beyond the pale, an assault on democracy, because Biden is running all over the place saying it is an assault on democracy. By the way, folks, while Biden is assaulting democracy, he's saying that Trump is a threat to democracy. Think about that for a minute. We could do a whole show of just the stuff that Biden has done that's unconstitutional. Just Biden alone. Forget my opinion of the judiciary. Just Biden's administration alone is just steeped in whatever they want to do versus constitutionality. But the left doesn't see the Constitution as a support mechanism, a framework for our hybrid democratic republic. Go ahead, Lud. I apologize.
No, I think that's a great point. They don't look at it as a tool to frame legal legislation or outcomes in the United States. Rather, they look at it as a barrier to get their goals accomplished.
What do you think, Miles Bauer?
I just find it fun that Biden got his physical. He was cleared. He was supposed to be fully healthy. But the Department of Justice isn't going to move towards Biden on possessing illegal documents because he's too frail.
He can't defend himself.
Something is off there.
Right. He can't defend himself. So it's like the person that physically harmed somebody, and they want to try him, but they can't because he's not mentally competent to defend himself, to frankly understand that what he did was wrong. That person is not competent to understand that. They usually get them mental health. They don't make them a president.
Right.
Ludwig, are you laughing at me again?
You know, it's so true, because for all 4 years I've been saying, and you guys have been saying, we feel bad for him personally, because I really feel it's his wife and other people within the government that want him to be that figurehead. He needs to go home and just enjoy the rest of his life.
Listen, it's Obama. I remember watching Obama, and I'm not trying to string these together, and I'm truly not trying to be a shock jock, but I watched Obama in an interview. Well, they asked him, would you want a third term? He said no, but he'd be happy if he could put somebody in that chair that he could steer and let that person do all the work. Folks, you can find that interview on YouTube. It's unedited. You can find it in multiple places, by the way, which is what I do when I'm looking at interviews, because I don't trust what I'm seeing anymore. Listen, guys, before we run out of time, I want to touch on this thing. Anti-ESG legislation seen facing uphill struggle to become law. I'm talking about the United Nations ESG initiative that's purposely designed to thwart and steer global companies, but specifically in my concern, companies in the United States, Anheuser-Busch, Target, the medical centers, the list is endless. Those folks that need money, that have a line of credit to operate, that need lending to operate, those companies are absolutely being hammered by the United Nations. So we're down to a minute. But Miles, you've been a little bit quiet. Let me pick on you. Who in the world could vote against protecting American companies from an ESG type initiative?
Oh, that's easy. It's just lobbyists.
Well, listen, if I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican senator or a congressperson, and somebody is threatening an American company like Anheuser-Busch, by the way. I don't say, ah, too bad for them. I got a lobbyist in my pocket. Don't these people take their, this is a dumb question. We're down to seconds, but don't those people take their oaths seriously? The answer is no. I see Miles shaking his head. Folks, what a shame. Listen, we're out of time, but thank you very, very, very much for listening to my friend. You got to vote for Trump because the other choice is ugly beyond measure. Folks, please, please, please be safe, and we will see you next week.